When it comes to this world, you should be, what is the word I'm looking for? Generous. You should be generous when it comes to the things of this world. Like if any brother came and said to me right now, Brother Yusuf, I love you so much. I've never had a cowboy hat. I want one like this. I'll give it to you. No problem. I'll give it to you. You know, the one who's like, I know where to get it. But the akhirah, I'm selfish. Why? Because none of you are going to help me on the Day of Judgment. Even if you love me for the sake of Allah, even if I love you for the sake of Allah, on the Day of Judgment, I'm going to say this with all fairness and with the least amount of disrespect because to the house of Allah. On the Day of Judgment, I won't give a damn about you. And you won't give a damn about me. You will only be worried about you on that day. So, when it comes to good deeds, I am a little bit selfish. So I'm hoping that if any of this, that's why I said no matter what. Even the brothers today told me when I told them how I was feeling, they were like, you know, take it easy. I'm like, nope, I'm coming. I'm coming even if you have to put a foot in next to me and I'm vomiting in it. I've done this in other countries, by the way. I've been to Africa and caught some really funky stuff and just kept on going. Why? Because I'm hoping that if any one of you in this room leaves after doing this course and you use something that I gave you to help another person come to Islam, I get you. That goes on my scale of good deed. That's how I view this. With the akhirah. Many projects that I'm actually working on right now are involved in philanthropy. I will be leaving at some point in probably November, December. I will be leaving to go overseas for probably a week. I do this every year for at least 2 weeks out of the year. I go to some of the most impoverished places in the world to help distribute charity for the sake of an organization that I worked with for many years. For those of you, number one, support your masjid. Number one, support your masjid. But if you're ever looking to help in philanthropic, you know what I'm trying to say. If you're ever looking to help in philanthropic organizations, One Ummah Charity is a charity that I've supported for many, 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 many years. They're out of the United Kingdom, and I know the brothers who are behind it personally. I helped get it established many years ago. And they are one of the few charities in the world that I can sit here and tell you, I know that their donation policy is 100%. Every single dollar you give goes to the poor. Goes to the poor. And I go and I help them on the ground, inshallah ta'ala. We were planning to go, actually I was supposed to go in November to Lebanon. But we know that's now pretty much impossible. Yeah? But because I told you guys, I was in Lebanon on October 7th. I was actually there. I was in Tripoli on October 7th. And it was a very unique day that I'll never forget. How many of you remember me telling it? Anybody here heard me tell that story? Okay. On October 7th, I was in Tripoli distributing funds in the oldest part of Tripoli. There's a very old part of Tripoli that was built by the Ottomans, right? And I was walking through the souks. It's an amazing place, mashallah. But I remember when October the 7th happened, they were reciting, it reminded me of Eid Day, because they were reciting the talbiyah from them, all the masajid, like it was the Eid al-Adha. Trust me, all you heard from the masjid was Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. It's a different story. I'm not going to go too far into that because then I'll get banned. I'll get the masjid banned. But anyway, I was supposed to go back to Lebanon in November, but that looks like it's going to be very problematic. So we will find somewhere else that is impoverished in the world for me to go, and I'll go, inshallah ta'ala. Because one thing that I have realized in being in all these camps is that we are extremely blessed. And when we can help others, we help others. And I love spending time in those camps. Sometimes we go and, you know, the brothers go back to the hotel and I tell them to leave me here. I'll sleep here. I sleep with the people. Why? Because I want to know what that feels like. I want to know what it feels like. When I come back home, I want to know what it feels like For someone who has nothing. For someone who's sleeping on a straw mat, waiting on someone to come like me and distribute aid to them. I want to know what that feels like. When I come home, I tell my children to explain to them so that they can have something that a lot of Muslims in this world are missing, which is called empathy. And it was a characteristic of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he had empathy. He cared about people. Now we care about ourselves. You can care about yourselves when it comes to good deeds, but when it comes to these worldly matters, we have to have empathy. Because there are people out there who have nothing. But guess what? They are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have everything. America is like a golden orchard where you can be whatever you want to be. And we're ungrateful. We are ungrateful. So may Allah make us of those who are grateful to Him and thank Him for the blessings that He's allowed us to have, inshallah. But number one, support your masjid. But if you ever want to support one ummah, you can either find them online or you can come to me, inshallah, ta'ala. Because we make sure that everything goes. We are actually still getting aid into Gaza. Don't ask me how, because if I tell you, they'll shut it down. We are still getting aid in, and we're getting aid to the places that need it. We're getting aid into Bangladesh. We're getting aid into Lebanon. We're getting aid into Burma. We're getting aid into Africa. So if you ever want to support one ummah, come and see me, inshallah. So after the philanthropy, where do we go from here? So now that we've broken the ice, we've opened the door to da'wah, presented the pure message of tawheed to Islam, where do we go from here? Our goal is to simply convey the message of Islam clearly and plainly. I've told you this a million times. Make a bridge to the people for Islam, allowing them to either cross it or remain where they are. That's their choice. We have to accept that. And we have to have that kind of dignity in ourselves, right? That look, I have created a bridge for you to something that is way more beautiful than anything you've ever known. If you decide to cross it, you will see what I see. If you decide to stay where you are, that's on you. That's on you. That is my simple message to people when I talk to them. Is that look, I lived 18 years of my life not knowing anything about this religion. Somebody showed me the bridge and I crossed it. When I crossed it, I burnt it behind me because there's no going back. If you want to see the beauty that I've seen, come across with me. If you want to stay where you are and you're satisfied with that, that's on you. On the day of judgment, that will be between you and Allah. That will be between you and the one who created you. My job is done. I've shown you the bridge. I've shown you the path. I've had people argue with me. Trust me. So many times, I've had people argue with me. And I'm like, look, I've shown you the bridge. If you want to cross it, cross it. I'm not going to waste my... There's so many brothers come to me like, I've been debating this guy for 10 years. And I'm like, what? 10 years? You've wasted probably 9 of them. Once you built the bridge, let them decide whether they want to walk over it or not. Once I see that a person is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obstinate, as Allah says, He says, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة وموعظة الحسنة وجددهم بلاده أحسن. Once they become obstinate and you've shown them the way, that's it. Leave them be. Leave them to the devices. If they want to come, come. If they don't. Move on. You know why? Because while you're wasting a time on someone who is arrogant, someone who is obstinate, someone who is argumentative, you're missing a person who may be looking for the truth. You're missing a person who may be looking for the truth. Me, myself, I was searching. I was looking. I was begging God. I didn't even know who the real God was, but I was begging Him. If you want me to know, you show me the truth. And there was a masjid across the street from me. There was a masjid across the street from me. I never want anyone to ever be in that situation ever again. So once you've built the bridge, let them decide whether or not they want to walk over. If they do, alhamdulillah. If they don't, alhamdulillah as well. In this world where Islam is covered with so much confusion and misconceptions, it is our job to make the truth clear. In this world where there is so much confusion and misconceptions, it is our job to make Islam clearer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this Religion is what? Bayina. What does bayina mean? Clear. Clear as the water in the Turks and Caicos. It is clear. You just need to present it. The Prophet said, Allah has made this religion that its night is like its day. Its night is like its day. It's clear. He said, the haram has been made bayina. The halal has been made bayina. So we make this religion bayina for people. It's up to them whether or not they decide to jump in the water. I've been to the clear water of Jamaican Turks and Caicos. I jump in whenever I can because it's beautiful. If they decide they don't want to jump in, stay in your boat and drown in it. It's not our fault, right? It's not our problem. Another thing that Islam needs nothing, and this is where I'm going to be very, very specific. No apologies. No apologies. Islam needs no apologies. There has been way too much of that. And it has happened very frequently since, you know when, I'm not even going to mention that date. But there's been something called Islam apologetics. I even hate that term. I despise that term. Islam needs no apologies. We don't have anything to apologize for. Everything in Islam is beautiful, and it is wise, and it is of the utmost. There's a brother of mine. He's a dear brother to me. I've known him since before he became famous. That's what happens when you get old, right? How many of you heard of a brother named Muhammad Hijab? Raise your hands. I know Muhammad Hijab very well. I've known him since he was very, very young. Right? Every time I go to London, we meet, right? I go to the IRA offices because that's usually where he's at. And that's on it's on North Circular Road in London. Anybody ever met him in person? He'll intimidate you, by the way. He's a giant. He's a big guy. He's like 6'3", 280 pounds, big brother. But he's also a big teddy bear. I love him for the sake of Allah. But lately, and we talk to each other regularly, I have praised him for the stance he has taken in Islam. Anybody saw his recent show with Piers Morgan? You saw the recent one? That's what you mean by no apologies. No apologies. We have nothing to apologize for. This religion is perfect. Everything other than it is wanted. And we must stand on that. I'll give you the youth saying, right? On all 10 toes. We stand on that with business. On all 10 toes. That Islam is the hub. Everything other than it is falsehood. And if you can't see that, that's your problem, not mine. That's your problem, not mine. I am not going to apologize for one single thing in this religion. Not one single thing that Allah has revealed, I need to apologize for. Not one single thing the Prophet said, I need to apologize for. Any apologies need to come from you. And if you don't understand that, then on the day of judgment, you will be apologizing till you cannot speak with breath anymore. And that's the reality. No apologies. This religion is perfect. Allah says, Al-Yam, akmaltu lakum deenakum. This day I have made this religion perfect. Kamal. That is what this religion is. It is Kamal. It is perfect. When I meet brothers whose name is Kamal, I love them. Like, it's a beautiful name. Based off of a beautiful ayah of the Quran. This religion is Kamal. It's perfect. Never apologize for it. Never. Not only never apologize for it, never apologize for who you are. Never feel like you need to be less than for being Muslim. Never feel like you need to be on the back foot. I say the back foot because I'm a fighter, right? And when you're fighting, you're either on the front foot, which is offensive, or in the back foot, which is defensive. We as Muslims have been on the back foot for a long time. Why? Was this ever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was he ever on the back foot? I don't ask rhetoricals. Was our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever on the back foot? Defensive, apologetic. No, he was always on the front foot. Look and study. Read the story of when the Christians of Narjan came to him. Was he on the back foot or front foot? He was on the front foot, telling them the religion of Allah. And not so, he was so sincere about it that he said, if you don't believe me, let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invoke a curse on which whatever one of us is. Basically saying, may Allah strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. Yeah? Front foot. Muslims should be on the front foot. Ideologically sound religion. This religion is perfect. It is amazing. No compromise. When you walk outside of this masjid, you are a Muslim. Your head should never be down. Your head, part of da'wah is also how you present yourself. I talked about that in this sifat of du'at. For those who have been around long enough, one of the sifat of du'at was what? Demeanor. Was demeanor. Your demeanor should always be that of a Muslim. You don't need to wear a thobe to do that. It's always how you present yourself. The fact that you are so sure about your life, that you are so sure about who you are. I've had people come up to me dressed like this, telling me that there is something unique about you. What do you do for a living? Wallahi, I swear by Allah in His house that I have had people come to me and ask me, what is it that you do for a living? Because there's just some uniqueness about you. I don't know why. Wallahi, I've never understood it. I'm not a person to really approach people in kind of like in public spaces like that. And I always tell them the difference about me is that I'm a Muslim. And they look at me like, what? You're what? I'm a Muslim. Yes, I'm a Muslim. If you want to know more about Islam and why it makes me the way I am, you got 5-10 minutes, I'll tell it to you. No compromise, never on the back foot. We are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the ones who will be successful. Allah says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand? There are times where I've stood at night to pray tahajjud and have recited that surah simply for that verse. To remind myself that Allah has promised me. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The word قَدْ means that there is no other option. When Allah says قَدْ, that means that there is no other option. أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers will be successful. You might look around the world today and think that the believers are not successful. That is because we've gotten too trapped by this world. We've gotten too deceived by what is success and not a success. If a bomb drops on a school and kills 200 children, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. They are successful. They've made it to paradise. They are better than you and me. They have made it better than you or me. Allah decides success, not you or me or anyone else. But Allah says that the believers, those who have no doubt, go back to Surah Al-Baqarah, those who are yuqinun, those who have no doubt, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, they will succeed. And I ask Allah, I beg Him, when I recite this surah late at night, make me of those people. I don't care what you give me in this life. I don't care what you take from me in this life. If you make my heart stay steadfast on belief, I'm successful. That's all that matters. For those of you here on Friday, our D-Imam told us that. That's all that matters. I try to instill that into my children, that belief determines success. That's it. Nothing else matters but your heart on the day you die. Kings in their palaces will die and be of those whom Allah says are khashiyin, those who are losers, surrounded by gold, surrounded by soldiers, surrounded by armaments, surrounded by everything that this life can offer. And Allah says about them, they are khashiyin, they are losers. And there will be people who will die with nothing, of starvation, of suffering, of drowning, of bombing, of all kinds of torture. But they will die with a heart that Allah has placed faith in. And Allah has said about them that they are, they are successful. Never forget that. That is a core of da'wah. When you walk around with that, people are attracted. Trust me, it's called the law of attraction for a reason. People are attracted to that. And they know that there is something in you that they want. Do you not remember? I'm gonna ask you, you might not know, and I won't tell you. I won't tell you who said this. If you know, it's a bonus. I wish I had something to give you. Maybe next time I'll bring gift cards. I'm gonna tell Brother Adam to make sure we have some gift cards laying around. I want to ask these questions, inshallah ta'ala. There was one person who said, if the people of this belief knew what you had in your heart, they would fight you for it. They would fight you for it. They would pick up swords and take them against you to fight for what's in your heart. Anybody know who said that? Look it up. And if next week you remember, if you tell me who it is, I'll make sure we have a gift card for you, inshallah. But he said, if they knew what you believed, if they knew what was in your breast, they would fight you for it. That's the peace Islam gives you. Was anybody in here not born a Muslim? Raise your hand. Am I the only one? That's why I know it. That's why I know it. I know this because I know what it's like to be on the other side of the fence. If they knew what was in your hearts, they would fight you for it. I would fight you. But alhamdulillah, Allah guided me to it. Also, no compromises. We don't compromise this religion. There's no compromises. We don't need to water down this religion. If you take a medicine, if a doctor prescribed you a medicine, let's just say, let's be very simple about it. How many of you know what an antibiotic is? Raise your hand, right? Antibiotics. Amoxicillin, penicillin. Let's say a doctor prescribed you penicillin for an infection. I took it from you and I added 50% water to it. How helpful is it going to be to you? Is it going to have the same effect? You might not even get better because. Stop watering down this religion. Give it to the people 100%. If they don't like it, that's their problem. If they can't accept it wholeheartedly, that's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't water down this religion. It is what it is. It's perfect because of the way Allah made it. I love this religion for everything that it is, even